I just before I read this message, I just have one little thing I need to tell you. I remember in first grade, and the teacher, I went to a Catholic school and I had a nun taught me. They were teaching us all these new Christmas songs. And one of the new Christmas songs that I was learning in first grade, which you're what, 6, 7 years old, something like that, was O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Okay, we're all familiar with the song. O Come, Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel. And I had no clue what that song was about until I heard the words, and ransom captive, and I said, this song is about pirates. Oh well, just thought I'd share that with you. Oh my, the things that go through the minds of little kids. This past Friday was the day that we celebrated Christmas of 2009. We have all gone through another Christmas season full of all of its Christmas traditions. In one way or another, we all spend time diving into all of the various Christmas traditions that we adhere to. This morning, I'm just going to share a few of these Christmas traditions with you. And these traditions are in no particular order. First, we have a Christmas tree. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's artificial. Maybe we bought it at Ben Franklin. Maybe it was freshly cut somewhere out in the forest. But we brought it home. We trimmed it up with lights and ornaments and decorations, and we made it look real nice and pretty, the Christmas tree. Another tradition is we may have put lights outside of our house, and we hung these lights from the gutters or maybe around our windows or maybe around our doors. Or maybe we put them out around the trees and the bushes outside in our front yard. And of course we put out lights to symbolize the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, it says in John chapter 8, verse 12. And we as Christians, we want to pass on that light into our neighborhood because Jesus brought light into our world, and we make this attempt to bring light into other people's worlds also by putting the lights outside. And then there's always Santa Claus, that big old jolly fellow in the red suit. He lives in the North Pole, you know. He has 8 reindeer, and they can fly. He has 9 if you want to include Rudolph, the one with the red nose. And he fills his sack full of toys, and he goes from house to house, and he lands on rooftops, and he slides down chimneys, and he delivers toys and things for all the good little boys and girls. And by the way, quite often he shows up at malls, usually about 4 weeks ahead of time, before the big Christmas Eve night. And this gives all the little children a chance to tell them what they want, and they can sit on his lap, just in case the letter that they wrote didn't make it to the North Pole like it should have. Another tradition is the office parties, where everybody from the office brings in something to eat, and the boss lets you have about an hour of free time, where you can fellowship with other employees, and you can just kind of mingle, and you can have some snacks and a soda, and eat. You can eat, and you can talk about something other than work for a change. It's a good time of getting to know some of the other workers in the office. Then there are the Christmas cards. You go to your local Hallmark store or the Christian bookstore. Or you go to Walmart and you buy these cards and you, you write them up and you sign your name and you wish your family and your friends a Merry Christmas and to have peace on earth. The Christmas cards. Sometimes you hang them on the walls or wherever. And then there's Christmas caroling. But it's probably not quite as popular as it once was, but some people still like to bring the cheer of music and song to places like nursing homes and places like that, where they can bring the Christmas spirit into those kinds of environments. And that's always a good thing. And let's not forget the family get-togethers. When you get together on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, and it's very traditional that we spend time with family and our friends at this time, and we gather at somebody's house, and you certainly don't want to miss out on this time of fellowship. And maybe you go over to mom and dad's house, or you go to your brother's and sister's house, or maybe your children have a home of their own and they host their own Christmas get-together, or maybe it's at your place and everyone comes to your house for this exciting time with the family and friends. And then last but not least, there's the gift-giving. The giving and the receiving of gifts. And now we can get to buy these gifts on the internet. And we can buy these things online, which makes buying a little more convenient. But some of us just like to deal with the hustle and bustle of the Walmarts and the Kmarts and the Targets and the Kohl's and the Peebles and wherever else it is that you're shopping. And you deal with that hustle and bustle because you're looking for that perfect thing for that perfect person. And these are just some of the familiar Christmas traditions that we go through during the Christmas season. And I'm sure there are plenty more that I just didn't cover here over these past few minutes, and or maybe a few traditions that you and your family and friends have started on your own. And somehow, throughout all this tradition and this season, and all this stuff that we go through year after year, we do attempt to convince ourselves that Jesus is the reason for the season. That we are really in the season because we are celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And after all, this gift-giving tradition is because the wise men from the East, the Magi, they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and to worship the child Jesus, the King of the Jews. And they followed a star in the sky, the Bible says. And we assume that there were three kings because there were three gifts given. But we really don't know how many kings there were, and that's okay. But because they gave gifts to the child Jesus, we carry on that tradition and give gifts to those whom we love also. Or maybe this whole thing about gift giving is about the fact that Jesus himself is a gift to us. He's a gift to the world. He's a gift from the Father as an atonement for the sins for all who believe. And because Jesus himself was a gift, that's why we give gifts also. And both of these reasons, the first reason that the Magi gave gifts, and the second reason that Jesus himself is a gift, are very much acceptable reasons why we Christians today give gifts during the Christmas season, at Christmas time and on Christmas Day. But sometimes we are so human, aren't we? We are so human. Which makes me ask the question, what have we done to Christmas? What have we really done to Christmas? For some reason, Christmas can really bring out the best in us. And sometimes Christmas can really bring out the worst in us. Christmas has the potential for being the most wonderful season of the year. But too often it really has its share of ungodly moments. Let's recap those traditions once again. And let's look at a little piece of reality. And reality is because we are so human, even at Christmas time, even with the best of intentions. We want a Christmas tree, but we just can't agree if it should be artificial or should it be real. Is it standing straight or is it not? Do we have too many decorations on it or do we not have not enough decorations on it? And by the way, where are the decorations? You put them away last year. You should know where they're at. Should the Christmas tree go in front of the window where everybody can see our beautiful tree? Or should we put it in the corner? By the way, I really don't have time to put up a tree this year. You put it up. We put lights outside our house because Jesus is the light of the world. But sometimes we don't want to be outdone by the Joneses down the street. They have 5,000 lights. By golly, we're going to have 6,000 lights. We'll go to Walmart, Kmart, and let's buy 20 more sections of lights. And not only that, not only will we put more lights out, they're going to be computer generated and they're going to blink to the music. Let's see whose house gets attention this year. Or dad, mom, grandpap, grandma, you're up to 2 o'clock in the morning playing Santa Claus, putting those toys together, and the directions make absolutely no sense whatsoever. You can't figure it out. It appears like it's written in Greek. And it's getting late. And we're getting tired. And we're certainly getting frustrated. The office party. You know, maybe Jack, you know Jack, that guy that works in cubicle 822? Maybe he'll actually bring something to the Christmas party this year instead of devouring what everybody else brings. And you know what about Jack? He's not all he thinks he is anyways. And I certainly hope he doesn't sit next to me at the luncheon because I'll certainly tell him a thing or two. Christmas cards. They bring a new meaning to the law of reciprocality. I don't even know if that's a word, reciprocality, but it is this morning. It means this, that if I get a card from Mel and Ruth, I better send a card to Mel and Ruth. We don't want to appear cheap or forgetful now, do we? And you really hope that that card that you get from Mel and Ruth doesn't arrive on the 24th of December, because you'll never get your reciprocating card back out in time for them to enjoy it for Christmas. And what happens when friend number one finds out that friend number two got a card, but they didn't? Oh, in the Christmas caroling, Helen Throckmorton is going to be a real pain this year because she's not going to be singing Christmas carols at the nursing home she wants to go to. Well, you know what about Helen? She never sings on key anyways. Maybe Helen should just stay at home. Where are we having our Christmas celebration this year? Oh, over at Mom's house? I wonder if Bubba's going to be drunk again this year. You know, if he shows up, he's going to be. And when he opens his mouth, it's either nonsense or it's fighting words that come out. And if Bubba's there, he's going to ruin it, just like he ruins it every Christmas Eve. He really needs to go to his own in-laws. But I understand they don't want him either. Bubba. Then there's the gifts. The gifts. What do I buy little Johnny this year? What should I buy little Susie this year? And remember, last year, parent or grandparent, you were disappointed and hurt because you bought that toy that you knew Johnny would like, but he didn't like it. And he told you he didn't like it shortly after he threw it back in the box. And you do know that the law of reciprocality is in effect with gifts too. Well, she's going to get something for me, so I better get something for her. And that list of people that we need to buy for year after year just gets longer and longer and longer as the days grow closer to Christmas. And now we have to fight the crowds at the stores. And these people, well, they're certainly not like me. They're not nice to be around. I wish everyone was like me when I went to Walmart. At least Christmas would be a little bit nicer. Or you go to buy your gifts online, and your internet connection just seems to drag and drag and drag because a zillion other people were on the same website buying the same thing that you are. And they're making their last minute purchases just like you are. And when you finally get to step number 4, which says checkout, hit this button to submit, you get the little red line that says this: your item is out of stock. Christmas traditions. The Christmas season and the Christmas traditions, they do bring their share of genuine excitement and joy for some, and not so much joy and the wrong kind of excitement for others. And I'm certainly not here to sway you one way or another on what you consider your Christmas traditions. That's up to you. But I do believe that there is reality in what the Christmas season can or does bring. And there's certainly nothing wrong about sending out Christmas cards or singing Christmas carols. And there's nothing wrong with putting up a Christmas tree or making that tree look pretty or your house look pretty with lights. And there's nothing wrong with all those other traditions and getting excited about the spirit of Christmas. But Christmas is about the gift. The gift. And it is unreasonable and perhaps unrealistic to compare the gift giving that we do today in our Christmas traditions to the gift that was given to each and every one of us as believers. We are so human that it is so easy for us to be buried in all the tradition that we really do forget the gift. In many ways, our human interpretation of giving gifts at Christmas is out of obligation to that person because that person's name shows up on my list. Or that person deserves to get a gift just because of their relationship to us. Well, that person is my spouse, or that person is my child, or that person is my parent, or that person is my friend, so I must buy them a gift. In many ways, our human interpretation of receiving gifts at Christmas is that we sometimes expect them. Or sometimes we even demand them. Because of who we are and what we have done, by golly, I'm that person's whatever. You fill in the blank, I'm that person's husband, wife, parent, mom, dad, son, daughter, pastor, and by golly, that person should give me something. If you're a true believer this morning, you received a free gift. And it's called eternal life. Salvation. And I assure you this, believer, that your gift of eternal life was not given to you or to me to fulfill any kind of obligation. It was not given to you and to me because we deserved it. It was not given to you and to me because of your goodness or my goodness. It was not given to you and given to me because we expected it. And it certainly wasn't given to you and given to me because we demanded it. Let me tell you what the Bible says about why we got this free gift of eternal life. Our free gift of eternal life was given to us because of the mighty hand and the sovereignty of God. He chose you in Him before the creation of the world, Ephesians 1, verse 4 says. He predestined you and me to be adopted as His son and daughter, says Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined you and me according to His plan, who works out everything according to His purpose and His will, says Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. You and I came to Jesus because the Father drew us to Him and enabled us, says John chapter 6, verses 44 and 65. And the Father revealed the truth of Christ to us, says Matthew 16 and 17. We received the gift of eternal life because we were appointed to eternal life, says Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And our free gift did not depend on our desire or our effort, but on God's sovereign mercy, says Romans chapter 9, verse 16. And our free gift of eternal life was not given to us because of anything we have done, but because of one thing, His purpose and His grace, says 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And this free gift that we received began as a work in us, as a work of God. And He says this, that He will see it through unto completion, says Philippians 1:6. Our gift, the gift that I want us all to remember here at Christmas time and actually throughout the year, this gift of eternal life is a new birth. The Bible says that we were drawn by the Father. We were atoned for by the Son. And we were washed and reborn by the Holy Spirit, says 1 Peter chapter, verses 3 through 5. Let us never forget that we were dead in our trespasses. That we were dead. That we were dead. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 starts off with these two words. But God. But God. I don't know about you, but the only reason that I can stand here as a saved person is because but God. Christmas is about one gift. We might associate it with the gifts of the Magi. We might associate it with the gift of Jesus Christ. But to me, Christmas is about one gift, the free gift of grace. Ephesians 2, verses, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace that we all have been saved. And it's through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. And not by works, so that no man can boast. That's the gift. That's the gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't even want it. But we got it. And all the praise and all the glory and all the honor goes to God. Now that, my friends at Beech Grove, that is a Merry Christmas. Let's pray.